Well, it makes me think of here in San Francisco, we get the. Have you seen cases of bicycle rage?
I have actually seen cases of bicycle rage.
I can't. I'm sort of surprised. I mean, like, if I were on a bike and someone almost ran me over, I would be angry. But to, like, the degree of reaction that I've seen from some cyclists around here, it's just like people like banging on people's windows, screaming, totally. Like, I'm gonna kill you, you know, like all that sort of stuff. It's like, whoa, you have other problems, you know, like way beyond this person, you know, coming too close to you or something like
that. People get really wrapped up in their causes, I think, also, you know, because it's like, yeah. Really, do you think that person tried to kill you? It obviously was an accident.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And like, maybe like a more constructive way would be like, hey, you know, like nearly killed me. And then that person's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm always going to check my blind spot next time because like that was terrible. That was like so close to being bad. Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I have seen it the other way where like you know, the bikers, especially because there's no bike lanes in the city, there's not a ton of them anyway.
Yeah.
And the bikers are also very aggressive. They'll be weaving and this and that like that. And they, you know, they're like, well, this is where I am and you have to give me room. You know, and some of the, it's really annoying when you're a driver because like you're trying to turn right and there's always bikers there in your way and stuff like that. So I've seen an argument actually happen like where, like, you know, some of this girl's like, well, I'm actually can be here. And the driver's like, but you're in my way, you know? And the biker's like, well, I could be here. Like, that's what, I mean, I'm allowed to ride my bike here. And then they just start getting an argument about whether or not they can be there or not, right? Mm-hmm. So,
well, to clear that one up, I believe the bicycle does have a right to be there, and you have to give them space.
They totally
space.
Do. Yeah. They do.
But that doesn't justify bicycle rage.
No, it doesn't. Actually, the other day I saw parking rage.
Oh, really?
Where, like, it was actually the classic, I don't know if you've seen that Seinfeld episode where George, I think he was going to back into a spot and then somebody pulled into a spot.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just up here on the road and somebody was like, they pulled up to a spot and they were in front of it and they were going to back in and somebody pulled in head first.
That's bad.
And the girl got out, like it was like a girl, mid-20s maybe in the front car and then a dude in the back car. I didn't see how old he was because he didn't get out. And she like pulled out, or she was like, you know, and she's like, got out of her car. She's like, excuse me, you know, like whatever, like you can't do this. It's like, oh, I didn't know you were pulling into it. It's like, how was she supposed to pull into a spot, you know? And then, I mean, I was walking down the street, and I was walking further and further away, and I mean, I wasn't going to stop and stare or whatever, but she was really mad. And I think the last thing I heard her say was, I know where you're going to park. Which is not a very constructive, like,
you know. No, that's not. All right, here's the thing, people. When you get in an argument with someone, and the moment you resort to threats, then you lose. You know, like that's it. You know, you could be in the right on the argument side, but you have to pursue that and show the person that you're right.
And crazy.
Yeah, you don't resort to threats.
Actually, you know, a coworker of mine from a while ago, he actually mentioned a point which is interesting. You know, once a conflict escalates to terrorism, it's almost like you can't turn back. Because, I mean, terrorism is like when you go and blow yourself up, there is no like rationality, morality, calming down. There's no conversation that can ensue. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, because you guys are crazy and you'll do whatever it takes, including blowing yourself up to win. Mm. Right? So there's no, and you can't, and if you reason with them, if you say, or you compromise, you say, okay, fine, you can have your way. That just means the next time, well, they'll get what they'll just like blow themselves up again or whatever. And I guess it's the same thing with ransoms or kidnapping or whatever. You know?
So, but what's the solution then? Are you talking about, well, we then have to, capture every member of this organization or something like that?
Oh, I mean, it's everybody loses sort of situation. No. I think it's like one of those tragedy of the common things, you know, where it's like once somebody like goes and like, there's this agreement and accord between all the people using or sharing a space or living in a geography or whatever, and one person says, I need to have this thing and I need it so badly that I'm going to ruin it for everybody else, then it's like everybody loses, right? It's just a tragedy, and there's no fixing it. I mean, it's until generations just pass or something happens, power changes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of like that equivalent thing where, yeah, a threat, it's just like you've ruined any sort of discourse. You've ruined any sort of like happy resolution to this thing. We can't reason. I can't convince you. You can't convince me. You know, it's just like, well, all right, I have to be a pacifist now and, like, let you win. Or I have to step it up and say, no, this is, I'm going to stand for what I believe in. You know, and it's, it seems like it's also tough because you can't stand for what you believe in anymore. It's like, this is what I believe in. You know, like, I really believe that you should only pull back into a spot. Like, you should only back into a spot. I mean, if we're going to, like, you know, let's draw lines on parallel parking.
All right.
And it's like, but this guy has just, like, shattered anything. You can't convince this person because he's, like, I'm not going to listen. There's all these reasons that maybe you should back into a spot. First of all, how can you even pull into a spot? It's so hard to park. You need to back into it, right? Yeah. I mean, your front tires move, not your back tires. So I think it's easier that way, right? I don't really know. I can't. It's always such a hassle when you're not even correctly or oriented in the spot to fix yourself out. And, like, backing in is just, like, so natural.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could list all these reasons why you would do it, and this guy would be like, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
And if you try and do this, I'm going to, like, key your car.
Yeah.
What are you going to be like, okay, well, you win, but not because you're right.
It's right, just, right. Because you're a bigger asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess then you wonder. Well, I mean, can you bring an authority into that situation, like a police?
You can. But I mean, I think once you bring it to the point where you've made a threat and you're like, you know, all you could do is you make an argument,
mm-hmm.
and then you could disagree with the reason. But like, somebody has to make that choice, right? But it's, when you go like, no, then it's like. When you get an argument, you always want to give that person you're arguing with a way out, I feel like.
Right, yeah.
You know, because otherwise, there's no way anybody can win. Even if you do convince them, or you do win, they're still wrong. I guess the only way you can win is by convincing them, which is like, I don't know, I've never convinced anybody in my entire life of anything. It's so funny that I spent all my life arguing with people, and yet nobody ever listens to me.
Success!
Like, I don't know what it is. I hang out with people who agree with me. That's all I do. But it's like, it was like, oh, yeah, you were totally right about that one thing, you know?
Well, I think you have to hold on to the, if you do get into a serious argument with someone, you have to be able to analyze your position with as much criticism as you're analyzing their position.
Right.
And it might be the fact that both of you are wrong, but I think that's where logic has its value, you know, because you can... If you can both agree on true premises, you know, and that's often the problem. It's like, we don't agree on these premises. Okay, we have to take a step back and find a previous premise that we agree on and go from there. And if you do, you know, if you agree on, if you can find premises you agree on, then you should be able to find what's right via those premises. But I think quite often when you just get into these sorts of debates, like the other night, there was this sort of debate on, and it was like you were arguing one thing.
It was nature versus nurture.
Nature,
right?
Versus nurture. But really, it seemed like to me everybody at the table who was arguing had the same point of view. The real difference was a semantic difference, your use of the word opportunity. Or something like that.
Right.
It was like you had a different definition of opportunity than they did. And as soon as you used your version of the word opportunity, they were like, no. And it's like, wait, you all are saying the same thing. like there's not a difference here. But I think that's, I don't know.
I think another part of that thing is like, yeah, you have to agree on the same premises. Mm-hmm. But also, like, let's say for some reason, like some miraculous occurrence, I actually convinced somebody something. Like, they would have to reevaluate all the things they've based off of that thing, which is, I think, almost a harder thing.
Right.
Right? It's like, wait, but I've, like, lived my life, or maybe not my life, but, like, I've, like, based the last year of, like, you know, decisions based on the fact that I thought this was blue, but actually it's light blue. Yeah,
it's actually red.
Right. Like, maybe something as small as that, or maybe it's something as big as, like, oh, well, I was always a nurture guy, but now maybe it's nature.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and it's like, oh my God, that means that this is wrong and this is wrong, and I've judged this person, and now I can't judge them anymore. I myself have, like, done this thing, and I was totally wrong because I can't make a difference at all.
But that's how we make the world a better place.
Well, that's
you have to reevaluate yourself.
Oh, and I totally agree with you.
You know, that's...
I gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Exactly. Woo! Zing!
But that's the
silver
rough part.
Bullet.
I think that's the really rough part, because it just, it's almost like it's bigger than this particular discussion, right?
Tastes and, great, less filling.
All right.
I think you're right. When you do get into these sorts of arguments that people do feel kind of vehemently about, and you can get to these issues where if you do break it back to the premises, people can sort of have to reevaluate their lives at some times. And that can be incredibly hard because, I mean, I think it's something that, you know, when you're growing up, and you're like a teenager and you have these like mental breakthroughs and like, you know, so right. maybe some teacher really showed you a different way of thinking, like you're still at a malleable point in time that you can handle that.
And that's totally what phases are, right?
Right.
Like you always say, oh, it's a phase. It's because like, oh, this guy just got a new paradigm and is like thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you're an adult, it's sad to say, it's a lot harder to change. And I think that you know, our goal should be as adults to keep open minds and be able to change ourselves as we, you know, come to realize that maybe what we were doing wasn't the best thing or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And I think really that is the irony of the situation for me is that's maturity. And what, what we walk around with as in quote unquote adult phase is like, more stubbornness and unbendingness.
The more mature you get, the more stubborn you get, and yet it should be the opposite of the way. Because
the older you get, you mean. But maturity in the sense of the word I'm using is a mental maturity.
It's a strange tying in society of maturity and age.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Whereas it's not actually your maturity that you're older, because yes, you've accumulated more experience, mm-hmm. but that experience you have like taken in, ingested, and output as I'm right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
See this experience? This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, because you see everything through the filter of your previous experiences.
Right.
So it's like, well.
It's so funny. They're probably like, yeah, 20 people can watch like something go down, you know, like maybe like a fight in the park or anything in the park, right? Like a fight, a birthday party, a pinata, like frisbee golf, anything, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, see, that guy is getting this thing over here. That's exactly what I'm talking about, right? That person's being selfish, or that person's very giving, or that person's a pushover, or that person's being aggressive, or whatever it is, you know?
It's like it fits into your paradigm.
Yeah, yeah.
And and it couldn't possibly be outside your paradigm because, of course, you know. And so I mean, like, to be fair, it sounds like we're being sort of high-minded snots here.
Oh, totally.
Which, you know, that's part of our show. But to be fair, like, I think that, you know, that's something that we personally should work on as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, like, yeah, like, who am I, Socrates, to go around telling people, like, you should change the way you think, buddy, you know? It's like...
Well, no, I think the goal is to be more Socratic and be more self-analytical before you get
definitely,
into these.
Definitely, like, why am I doing this? I'm like, why are you doing that? And is that cool? Are we cool? Whatever, you know. Are we keen?
Then maybe we wouldn't be firing. I keep firing these rockets into Mexico, thinking that it'll you know cause some change, but apparently maybe that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's also, you know, a little bit of. Do unto others, maybe?
Yes, I like that one. The golden rule.
Because it's easy to like.
That would be a great beer slogan. You buy for others.
Oh, dude,
others.
That is a good
do
beer slogan.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Golden, you know, if we.
Golden rule beer.
Well, if it was before Coors, we could have been from Golden, Colorado.
Oh, yeah, but Coors is bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it was before
Sorry, Coors, you lose the beer war.
If it was a four course, it could have been in Golden, Colorado, practicing the Golden Rule.
Yeah.
And it could have been like, you know, oh, dude, like you're at a bar. And
I feel like maybe
like,
they've done it already, but.
Maybe. And like there's a woman there. It's like, I'm just doing it on the others. You want a drink? Or it'll be like the bros at the like the football game doing it on the others. Who wants a round? You know, and then it's like, hey, it's my turn for a round. Buy me something. And then he gets into a big fight. You know, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're all drunk, so you know that's the way it's going to go, right?
And then they drop the beer cans in the river while they're rafting.
Oh, man, simpler times.
Simpler times call for simpler measures. That would be a good slogan. Shall we call it?
Yeah.
All right. This has been the Irregular Search for Truth. Thanks for listening. Oh, you can email us at irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com.
How's that mailbag doing this week?
I don't think we get any emails.
Oh, we got one. That was 2 weeks ago. But thanks for the email, guys. But keep it up.
Irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com. I'm Scott.
I'm Sachin.
Thank you very much. Bye.